This may appear to be only monkey business, but in reality, it's very serious, ladies.
Zero Issues Comic Podcast. Zero Issues Comic Podcast.
Excelsior!
All right, welcome to Zero Issues.
Welcome to Zero Issues.
Who are you?
I'm Merc.
I'm Bri.
I'm Kyle. Is that the official order? Is that how we're doing it?
Sure.
We don't.
I feel like we've been doing it for a while.
Yeah, we'll go
Merc,
with that.
Merc, Bri, Kyle.
Let's try it again. Let's do it again.
I'm Kyle.
I'm Bri.
I'm Kyle. Oh.
Current Zero News Flash.
I'm Bri. I'm doing the news this week. Let's see what we got. First off, Netflix Marvel. The Luke Cage series, there's been some hints of when this might actually show up. I guess that's the next on the docket after Daredevil Season 2.
Yep.
There was a picture posted from the Jessica Jones Facebook site or Instagram or all of the above.
A little file.
Yeah, it said Luke Cage November or something like that, and hinting that Luke Cage series would premiere in November. However, there's also a website called Black Film that apparently has a source, so take this with all the salt, that it might come in late summer instead. And the thought is maybe Jessica Jones is already, they're already working on season two of that, so that might even be coming in fall time.
Well,
in November,
Daredevil was March, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Last season one.
Yeah. So the idea is that maybe Luke Cage would be summer, maybe Jessica Jones will come late fall, and I know Punisher's coming, and also according to Mike Coulter, Iron Fist has been cast, so that they're moving on that too.
Really?
So could we get to the point where Marvel Netflix is going to have
stuff going all the
time? Yeah, like every quarterly, like a quarterly series, and they're all running separately from each other, like with each other but separately with their own creative teams. That's sustainable, actually. Like that could be sustainable.
That's smart.
Yeah. So you could have. You know what I mean?
You could keep people interested the whole time, the whole year. Yeah, yeah, totally.
So you essentially would have, like, if each series is, like, 13 episodes, then you have four of those running every year. And that's never-ending Marvel Netflix, which, you know, if they keep the quality up,
it's that sounds amazing. It's the never-ending story.
Yeah.
With Iron Fist and...
And cutting to other Marvel TV news.
I was wondering, were you going to rhyme with that?
I didn't know what I was going to rhyme with that either.
With that comic character, Corey. You know, Corey. He's a dick. Yeah, that's the one.
Yeah.
Well, Corey, they don't actually rhyme with
Corey,
it.
Corey, so. You dick.
Just,
I don't want to go with it that Corey's a dick.
All
right. Yeah.
Okay, real Corey. Piece of shit.
Feldman.
Which Real. Corey?
Does it matter?
Feldman.
I want to say Lee's.
Oh, no.
Real piece of shit.
All right. Marvel's Most Wanted spinoff of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yep.
is there's a it's pilot
on the works
coming. Yeah. Apparently that's going to happen again. They were going to potentially do that like for this year, and then it got delayed. So that's happening, apparently. I have mixed feelings about that because I feel like, you know...
It depends on how they do it. I don't know if they're taking... It's supposed to be, like, Mockingbird and
Hunter.
And Lance Hunter. But are they taking them out of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.? Or is it just their
they
side thing?
They would have
thing? To. Well, depends, it all depends on filming.
Yeah. Like, they could potentially be recurring on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., like, bumped down from regular, and then have their own show. That could be, like, Agent Carter style. It's only, like, 8 to 10 episodes a season.
Yeah.
That'd be fine. I feel like they add something to Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., which
I enjoy, and taking
them out of that would weaken that show, so that's a bad idea. But anyway, Delroy Lindo has been cast as Dominic Fortune,
who is
a, you know, Marvel character you might know about. And if you don't, Wikipedia that man, because he's pretty cool.
Interesting, but not a major character in the least.
Not a major character at all.
No.
Notable enough.
I wouldn't put it to C-list. I would B-list it, definitely.
B-list? That's it. That's C-list.
He's hovering between.
He's in.
He's not.
He's
quite,
a B minus list.
When I think of a C list, if you go to D list, you're talking to the characters that are they're shitty.
You're Frogman, you're Spider Kids,
exactly. Yeah, but he's not quite that far gone.
Sure,
he's redeemable.
He's, a good
he's been used well in the past, but just not often.
Sure, I think he's solid character, and that should be decent. Scott Snyder is officially leaving the Batman title.
Right.
for Detective Comics, so he's not really going anywhere. However, the thing is, I believe, I could be wrong about this, but he's, like, leaving after, like, the issue number 52, I think. Which aligns with the DC rebirth, afterbirth, whatever you want to call it.
Yep.
The DC poop pants.
Yeah. So apparently...
DC placenta.
We don't know what's happening there.
You know, you can eat the DC
placenta. You can eat the DC placenta.
Yeah.
I made a cake.
Yay! So, supposedly DC's relaunching, I don't know if we covered this in news already, but relaunching everything with number one again, apparently.
Right.
Whether that's or not it's a full reboot or
well,
not.
But is I that, don't is think that,
we've actually covered that in the news.
I don't think we have.
But is
in
that actually...
Can, you know about it.
I'm kind of burying the lead here by, like, Scott Snyder's leaving Batman. Also, reboot? Who knows?
Well, but is that... Is it actually doing... Going back to ones?
Like, I from what
really
it's all, have, it's all speculation.
Not, yeah, it's all. I have not heard any confirmation.
I've heard a lot of. There's been a lot of speculation online that it's going to be number ones, but again, nothing's confirmed.
I went into Comics Plus the other day, and Todd was like, "They're rebooting everything."
Yeah,
and I was really.
He's lighting stuff on fire.
Well, really, Todd is usually ahead of me on all this little info, and I was like, "Holy shit, is that true?" Yeah. And then I got home, and I. Looking it up, I'm like, I can't find anything. So I sent him a message going, where did you see this? I can't find any mention that it's actually, like, starting all over. But he was like, no, you know what? I think I'm wrong. I think I saw something that kind of suggested it. But
sure.
No confirmation.
There's no confirmation at all. The idea, it's not saying it's a reboot necessarily. The idea is that they're going to, like, relaunch. It might not be a reboot, but it might be, like, Marvel style. Just like, we're starting it from number one again, but everything's the same.
Yeah.
And after the number 52 issues. But the thing is, of the new 52 launch titles, there's like maybe a dozen that actually got to number 52 without being canceled.
Yeah.
Or already relaunched. So,
I want DC to be able to cling to another number.
Yes.
Like, and that's 37's a good number.
10.
That's 8. My next note in my notes for this is just like, why? Because what? You had a series called 52, which is only called that because there's 52 weeks in the year and it was a weekly series. That was it. It's not that clever.
And it's
why
not.
Why is this all
it's
consuming?
It's not that old a concept.
I no, think it's,
like
it's
10
not.
Years old, maybe.
I don't know why. Yeah. Like, I think it's just like one of the DC's.
Well, I think they're just trying to cling to. And I don't fault them for that.
I don't fault them for
it's
it.
Like they're just trying to cling to something that's like, okay, let's brand this and do this. And,
yeah.
You know, it's not a bad idea to a certain point, but as long as they can carry through with the rest of it. If they can't do that, then it's like, well, you're just negating what you're doing.
I just find it a bit funny that, you know, if this is true and they are, you know, basically like ending the current run and relaunching with new number ones after the 52nd issue, the fact that the vast majority of the new 52 titles either ended or got relaunched already anyway... You know, maybe that wasn't the best.
Joke's on you.
Exactly. Yeah. And apparently, though, the Batman title is going to be bi-weekly now, because Batman all the time, always. And that might be why Snyder's moving to a different title, because he's not going
to
keep that up.
Because he wants to keep up with that, yeah.
Yeah, who would want to do that?
That's like having 3 Spider-Mans a month.
Oh.
By which I mean easy and never a problem.
Never a problem at all. Hey, just put some clones in there, it'll be fine.
Yeah.
So yeah, and finally, a very brief thing. Apparently Marvel has trademarked all sorts of Deadpool merchandise for sale, including lingerie. So get ready for chimichanga roleplay, America.
Sexpool.
Sexpool is coming.
Now that's a scab I'd like to pick.
Ah, that's gross.
Oh, I'm so lonely.
That is the end of the news, because what are you going to top that with? Moving on.
Welcome to the warm-up!
Welcome to the warm-up! This week, I'm gonna do a Read This Now, which is what we call the thing where somebody pitches, like, hey, read this now.
Good book.
Yeah. I actually went out of my way to sort of start reading one with the intention of recommending it for this week. And
you couldn't find one, because they
suck. No. I found a graphic novel series, and I read through the first of them, and I was like, this is okay. I would have to read more before I could really recommend it.
Mm-hmm.
So instead of that series that I'm not going to say the name of, maybe I'll save it for a later thing.
All right.
Sounds like someone else has done this before. I'm going to recommend My Old Standby. I think maybe my favorite ongoing, independent, and it wasn't an ongoing originally. It was a 6-issue series. They're now on issue 10. It's Giant Days, written by...
I don't know that at all.
I've talked about this before. Yeah, I've talked about this on the show before.
Huh.
Written by John...
I rarely listen to you.
That's fair. Hey, you written by John Allison. The art on the first 6 issues was by Lisa Tremaine. It's currently being drawn by Max Sarin. It's a comic about... it's focused on 3 girls, first-year university students in England. One of the characters was from a webcomic that John Allison writes and draws called Scary Go Round.
Yes! Yes! I read that, a lot.
It's Esther Goes to College.
Oh, fantastic!
Yeah. And the art, like, I love John Allison's art style.
Yeah.
But, especially in the first 6 issues,
okay,
which are one self-contained story, the art is just fucking, it's popping! It's popping off! It's beautiful.
I liked it even in, like, the webcomics when he sort of went from, like, the actual, like, inked...
Yeah.
...to that. Yeah. Like, because he kind of...
It was weird digital, almost pop arty. There were no outlines.
Yeah, and it almost seemed very illustratory.
Actually and, drawing it.
Exactly. It's one of those weird situations, like, somebody starts digital and then goes more traditional. You know what I mean?
Yeah. He does a lot of good stuff, though.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I still read... Like, his comic is one of the few that I read every day still.
So what's the story? Is it, like, more just like a real life, kind of like just somebody in school?
I guess it's real life, but it's, I would say, whimsical and magical, but not like, well, that person clearly has magic powers. It's like, for example, the main character, or one of the main characters, Esther, is like a... A slowly reforming goth kid.
Yeah.
Who has a...
Reforming goth
kid. Yeah. She's...
Like, you gotta work your way out of that. Yeah.
She's a little less spooky than she was.
All right.
But a plot point comes up in, I think, issue 5 or 6 that she has a drama field. Or, like, drama just sort of happens around her. Okay. And I think we've all met people like that.
Yeah. Sure, yeah. Yep, fair enough.
So she's been trying to keep it in, and, you know, the other people are... The other characters are making fun of her about it. I don't. And a crucial moment in the book comes up where it's like, I've got to do something to stop this from happening. I need to unleash my drama field. So she just sort of shrugs off her sweater and dances a little bit. And 4 guys are like, well, I want to talk to her. And a fight begins.
Okay.
And she uses that to her advantage.
Is she the only returning character?
The most recent issue had Big Lindsay.
Okay.
Who was also in Scary Go Round, but just very, very briefly.
Okay.
Sort of show up and it's like, my old high school friend has shown up for the weekend.
Okay.
And sort of dealing with that. But other than that, you don't have to read Scary Go Round or Bobbins or Bad Machinery or any of that stuff to
enjoy.
So he's done book. Like multiple stories. In comics before that, been doing... and then the character.
So she hasn't been reunited with the boy.
No, well, the boy's dead.
Oh, is he dead?
Yeah, the boy died.
Oh, God, when did that happen? I must have missed some stuff.
About a year and a half ago.
Oh, no.
And, yeah, the boy died.
Oh, the boy. Well, at least he had a caravan in Wales.
Yeah. It's a super good book, and it's fun, and it's funny, and it's beautifully drawn.
And this is only online, or this is a
no, this is print? No, this is in print. This okay. is from... What is it, Boombox?
Is it like Boom?
It's Boom Studios, but it's like their smaller
okay.
imprint.
Oh, okay.
It started as a 6-issue miniseries, and now it's an ongoing. And it's super good.
Awesome.
Cool. It's Giant Days.
Yeah.
Check it out.
I got it. One, I got to catch up with all of the John Allison webcomic stuff, and then I have to read this. So this is a nice reminder.
Giant Days actually started online. He did like a 3-mini thing with the same characters.
Okay.
And this is sort of a soft reboot.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Cool. Go.
So many layers.
R.I.P. the boy.
Check it out.
His name is Eustace.
I remember. He'll always be the boy.
What the f***?
Welcome to the main topic for today's episode. What we're doing is, I don't know, we're all doing the same thing, or just
I think we're all doing different things. It's very possible.
I have a feeling. It's very possible. We often will talk about a topic, and we talk about it in very general terms. And I think I pitched this one, but it was, my idea was doing B-movie versions of comic ideas and taking, like, D-list characters and making a movie of it, but casting them with B-movie casting.
I think Bri got that.
I somewhat got that. It's not necessarily
but yeah, at the same time,
just people, like, it's not like Spider-Man.
I did the same thing. I ended up kind of changing it, so it's not all D-list anyways.
Yeah.
And even some of the actors and actresses are not, like, B-movie. But they're all... I have it kind of on that edge of it's... These are not major studio things to do. It's like, how would you do this? This would be a sitcom, and it would be shitty. Right.
When I thought B-movies, I was just like, every single idea I have, it's like, this is made in 1985. That was it.
You know what I thought was more like, you ever heard of Asylum Pictures?
Yeah.
It's a train, Transmorphers. Yeah.
It's like any idea that anybody has and like, oh, it's just about to come out and then they do one in three months. They suddenly do not. Well, it was like that idea or I have a couple other things. I cast three movies or TV series.
Okay.
And I have the full listings.
Okay. I have that for one and I have some other little things.
Do you want to like round robin?
Do you want me to? I have probably.
Please.
I have the most.
Please go.
Let me just go through all of them, and then you can say your bit. We'll start off with the one at the top. This is the Great Lakes Avengers.
Oh, nice.
And I'm doing this in a sitcom-ish sort of style.
Sure.
Seems about right.
And if you recall the Great Lakes Avengers, there was Mr. Immortal, who was kind of like the gawky, blonde hair guy who was totally immortal, and he was a little crazy because he can't really die, or he just keeps coming back. Dinosaur, which was kind of like the female dinosaur. Big Bertha, which was like regular size woman that suddenly balloons to like a huge kind of
pufferfish-like
thing, I guess. Flatman, who was flat.
Yeah, he got his toy.
Yeah. And Doorman, who was basically a character. It was all black with just the white eyes. I think the triangle kind of eyes, if I remember correctly. And he would just like go against a wall, and all of a sudden you could go through him. He created a door that would you could basically pass through solid objects to. It's an interesting idea. And then in the original one, there was also Hawkeye and Mockingbird. They left the West Coast Avengers to go and was like coach them. So they weren't really members, but they were like the link to the Avengers name sort of thing.
Okay.
So in a sitcom sort of style,
they were the Great Lakes Mutants and Great Lakes Defenders.
Yeah. Great Lakes Champions.
Probably.
It was going to get there. And the whole time I expected there was like a studio audience as you're doing this. So there's like laugh tracks and clapping and whatever. So Mr. Immortal, I pictured Andy Dick.
Ugh. Sadly, he probably is immortal.
He would be. Dinosaur, Tori Spelling.
Oh, man.
Big Bertha is Rosie O'Donnell.
It's mean.
A little bit. Flatman is David Hewlett, who played, who was Roddy McKay on Stargate Atlantis.
If
you remember that character.
I know David Hewlett. Treed Murray, one of my favorite movies.
Oh, really? I don't know that movie.
He gets chased up a tree by a gang, and the whole movie is him in a tree.
Really? There's an old...
He was in Cube.
That's true. Right. There's an old horror movie that I used to watch all the time when I was a kid called Pin. Canadian horror movie. And it's one of the strangest, most fucking bizarre horror movies that I've ever seen. And it's him when he was a teenager doing that movie. Totally recommend it. Check it out. Doorman. I pictured it as comedian Stephen Wright.
Oh, yeah.
So it's like just that deadpan kind of delivery. You'd be like, yesterday I forgot my keys, so I made a door. But then how do I walk through myself?
Dear God.
And then there's Hawkeye and Mockingbird, who would be Ian Ziering and Denise Richards.
Oh, yeah. Oh, God. Oh, God.
Yeah. What kind of horrific sitcom would that be?
Makes me angry.
It makes me angry. I just shake my fist.
I'm gonna do this one. Power Man and Iron Fist.
Oh!
Made in 1985.
Ooh.
Power Man, Carl Weathers.
Oh, yeah!
Keep the stash.
Yeah.
Totally.
Gotta keep the stash.
Makeup over the stash.
But he needs
do the... Do it Cesar Romero style. Come on.
He needs the yellow shirt, the chain, and the tiara.
But I mean, like, Rocky movie, jacked up. Yeah. You know what I mean?
He would insist upon wearing that.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
And everyone has to call him Luke.
Yeah. Iron Fist, I wasn't entirely sure of. I just went with Christopher Lambert, and I don't know why.
That or Chuck Norris?
Oh, I guess so.
In the 80s?
Chuck Norris is tainted.
Well, now he is.
Now he is. But yeah, that could work too.
At the time, well, if you're going like 85.
Yeah, I mean, he's actually a martial artist, so maybe Chuck Norris and Carl Weathers together at last.
I would pay tons to see that movie.
Oh, all right. Yeah. Well, that's all that needs to be said.
That's it. You just have the two characters that. Oh, okay.
That's their movie.
Oh, okay.
It's them.
And
the movie.
Supporting characters. Okay.
I didn't do that.
All right.
So, not Gene Wilder and.
Richard Pryor.
Richard Pryor. That would be awesome.
I mean, I guess.
I did see that art. Yeah, you've seen that.
That was like. I think Misty Knight. Might have been the art on like a, that we used for a. One of our first episodes.
Oh,
actually.
We told. I think that was off a line that is drawn. Actually,
really,
strangely enough,
huh?
Misty Knight would have to be in there, I guess.
Misty Knight and Colleen Wing.
Yeah,
and
who would Misty Knight be? Pam Grier, right? Does that not make sense?
Yeah.
I also have her for somebody else in mind.
I have her later on in my.
Pam Grier is getting casted three times tonight.
I briefly met Pam Grier once.
Really?
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Super nice.
It's cool as hell. Your Vancouver days?
Yeah, totally Vancouver. Anytime I mention that I met somebody, that would be... Yeah.
I always assume a con.
No. I met so many people in Vancouver just working there.
Cool.
When Foxy Brown comes to town, all the brothers gather round. Because she can really shake them down.
Foxy lady, Foxy lady.
I got it a completely different way.
Right. That's fine.
So I don't have a full cast. I've got certain characters played by certain actors.
Yeah.
Sure.
And I'm not going for A-list. I'm not saying this guy should be Superman. Though I do think Steven Seagal would be a hell of a Namor. Because his hair is just perfect for it.
Or a younger.
Or it could be like
Steven Seagal. Right now, they only shoot him from like the nipples up.
Baby, it's whatever you want it to be.
Yeah. Speaking of which, my wife met him.
Con?
No, that was she worked when we were in Vancouver.
Oh no!
She worked at a veterinary clinic, and it was an emergency clinic, and met him in the off hours, and he showed up with his entire posse.
Oh!
And wanted to pay in cash, and it was like 3 a.m, and she's like, "We don't have a cash box at 3 a.m."
Steven Seagal's a posse?
Yeah, he had like a whole crew.
Yeah, it's like on that sticker.
Okay. Oh no!
And I've got another one. Then I'll kick it back into rotation. I think Ellie Kemper would be a hell of a Squirrel Girl.
Oh,
Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt.
Yeah,
The Office.
Is she the main one in?
Yes.
Okay.
Even just like basically Kimmy Schmidt in it, where she's just like super pumped to be doing everything she's doing. That's perfect.
She's just so enthusiastic.
I know.
Even about giving a dry blowjob. Which is a thing. I'm not just being gross.
It's online.
Yeah.
You know, look it up. Don't Google Ellie.
we'll link to the video.
We'll have to link to the video.
Yeah, we're going to have to.
No idea
we're
going
to have to link
about.
To the video just so Merc can see it.
Yeah. We're going to have to do it now. I have one, again, 1985. Bruce Campbell as Plastic Man.
I have a Bruce Campbell one as well.
Well, hey.
But it's not Plastic Man, but that totally works.
Does that not work?
You get a young Bruce Campbell when
young
he was
Bruce
like...
Young Bruce Campbell, like svelte young
Bruce
Campbell.
Yeah, totally thin and taut and goofy and...
Yeah. He got in pretty good shape for his age for the new show, but you know.
But have him with the glasses.
Yeah, exactly.
That would be awesome.
It helps maintain the illusion.
Who was Plastic Man's kind of sidekick?
It was that goofy...
He was like
the guy in the Hawaiian shirt.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't remember his name.
I don't know.
John Candy would be great for him.
Oh, man. Jason Alexander.
Seinfeld ain't happened yet.
Jason Alexander at the time had a full head of hair.
Well, if we're talking about actual
that
time.
That doesn't matter.
I have actual, like, time-defying
Jason Alexander,
ones
you're out of the league.
Okay.
Abaldos. That might not make sense in context.
He's gonna get his episode.
I'm gonna cast Saga into a straight to TV movie. I'm thinking like Gen X, Generation X.
Oh, I was thinking that was like a Stephen King one.
Or that.
Molly Ringwald is everyone.
Oh, I have Molly Ringwald later on.
Jesus Christ.
I know, isn't that weird?
I'm pretty excited for all these things.
These are all good. There's some of them that are like multiple castings, like this one's or these ones. Alana and Marco, I originally casted as Kristen Stewart and Shia LaBeouf.
Ugh.
But then I thought about it later. I was like, or Kristen Bell and Dax Shepard. Because they just put out that video of doing the Africa thing. Have you seen that?
No, I try to avoid Dax Shepard.
I don't really know Dax Shepard, to be honest, but I loved that video. I could watch that every day of my life. And it was
hilarious. I haven't seen it. I know that it exists.
Super fun.
Cool.
Hazel would just be a fake baby, because you don't need to cast a baby. Especially when you've got a low budget, you just want to have a fake
baby. She grows up quick.
Isabel would be either Raven Simone or a young Parker Posey.
Are you plucked out of the time stream?
No, totally. There's this is all
time. Oh, no, time. No, yeah.
We're making Mojo TV.
This shit ain't going to happen, so we can just have some fun.
Clara, who is the mother, would either be Jane Fonda, Lily Tomlin, or Nichelle Nichols.
I was going to say, I really like Lily Tomlin, but shit, Nichelle Nichols.
I know, that was my last one. I was like, ooh, pretty good too. When that could work. She's got the sass. Lion Cat, I just picture it with the voice of Skeletor for some reason.
Lying!
He-Man! That was really more Monarch.
Yeah, I was going to say, Doc Hammer. Is Doc Hammer or...
Yeah, I guess.
I don't know. They're...
I think so, yeah.
Or Jackson Public.
One of them.
It's 50-50.
One of those guys.
Prince Robot the Fourth would be... you might have somebody doing the actual physical acting, but it would be the voice of Mark Hamill.
Okay.
He could just do some sort of voice that would just fit it. I don't know why that clicked.
So damn talented.
The Will would be Ron Perlman.
Oh, really?
Really? I don't see that.
A younger Ron Perlman.
A younger Ron Perlman.
Not maybe
again,
not now.
Out of the time stream.
Like Beast Ron Perlman.
If you ever an obscure HBO movie called The Second Civil War, which is so good, and I've never found anybody who's ever seen it other than myself. He's in that, and it's like it's a big political piece that comments on just the role of media and perception in politics, and it's like a comedy thing, but Ron Perlman plays a part in it, and it's that Ron Perlman that I picture. Mid-late 80s, probably late 80s.
You're good. I've worked with psychics before, but you're really something.
I present to you the cast of the most disappointing box office...
Uh-oh.
A movie of 1985, Justice League Detroit.
Oh! I love it. I love it already.
As Elongated Man, John Ritter.
Fuck, that would be great.
Would it not?
You just naturally, you wouldn't even have to do any
I know he was
effects.
Kind of like a big name, but at the time, he was making a lot of TV movies, so yeah.
He'd be available. Short. Not Martin Short?
Oh. I would go with Ritter.
Ritter's, I like
he's
mean,
got
I
the physical.
Because Martin Short is the worst.
Except in Three Amigos.
Sue Dibney, his wife, of course. Adrienne Barbeau.
Adrienne Barbeau!
That's what I'm thinking.
I love it. I love Adrienne Barbeau.
And you know what I mean? I think it would be nice. Aquaman, Rutger Hauer.
Fucking A. I love this.
Yeah, I would. Yeah. Martian Manhunter, Tony Todd, Candyman. He's very tall. He's
I actually wrote him down as just an extra character. I was like, if I could fucking throw Tony Todd in somewhere.
Martian Manhunter, 1985.
I'm still looking for a part for Matt Frewer, so.
Not bad. Oh, man. Ooh. I put Pam Grier as Vixen.
Oh, yeah, she was in that. Yeah, I forgot that Vixen was in that.
Yeah, she was.
Yeah.
Vibe.
Oh, yes.
Mario Van Peebles.
He
was very young.
Well, but he's like, he was, what, Puerto Rican, wasn't he?
Yeah, but I mean, this is 1985.
Okay, yeah.
How right are they going to get it?
Yeah, that's true. They're not going to cast.
No, they're not going to get it right. And there's another one on that. Yeah.
I love Mario Van Peebles.
Oh, yeah.
I am a huge, let me just say that now. I am a huge Mario Van Peebles fan.
Yeah.
I'm one of five.
1985 is like, it's close enough. It's fine.
So good. He's
Zatanna, listen. At the time, you would be putting...
Listen up, Chuckles.
Yeah. There has to be a role that they just sort of stick a supermodel in there and just hope it works
Cindy
out
Crawford.
Okay.
Yep.
Carol Alt.
Carol Alt
will be Zatanna.
Kathy Ireland.
Gypsy, a young Lisa Rinna.
Lisa Rinna.
Married to Harry Hamlin. Big lips now. She's had work.
I know what you're talking about. Yeah. Okay, yeah.
And finally, Steel, Hank Haywood, like the blonde buff dude. That would be William Zabka from Karate Kid, the dickhead from Karate Kid. And there's your team.
The bad guy or hero, depending on how you look at it.
The bad guy from Karate Kid.
Can I say, that list made me feel extremely young, because other than Candyman, did not know who a single person was.
Now you know how, I was going to say.
They're all gone.
Yeah.
They're all gone.
Yeah.
They're all gone. Yeah. So, overall,
delightful. I enjoyed that.
Lisa Rinna, I don't know, she can't play someone called Gypsy, but you know what? It's 1985. They don't care that much.
I had her cast elsewhere, but I would Molly Ringwald in that one.
Oh, okay.
Straight out of Breakfast.
Yeah. Club. Yeah. Who would you say? Room to change Zatanna here.
Oh, well, that, yeah. That's
I think Molly Ringwald would be a great Hera. She's got the hair for it.
Oh, yeah. Okay, if you're going for a Teen Titans thing.
Does somebody have an 80s Teen Titans? God damn.
That's for another episode.
That's another episode, yeah.
I've always got more, but okay. I don't have like a full team lineup because I'm a big dumb idiot.
That's fine, man.
But if you want a Hypno Hustler revival, may I recommend Chris Tucker?
Oh, the most annoying voice.
Yeah.
Perfect.
So, yeah, so it would be great to see Spider-Man beat the hell out of him. And you go, the whole time.
Oh, stop it!
I'm also thinking Donald Glover would be a pretty okay Wonder Man, because we had to get to Wonder Man eventually.
Yeah. You know what? I'd be happy with him just showing up in, like, one scene in, like, an Avengers movie.
Yeah. Hey, it's me, I'm Wonder Man. Oh!
And then...
thrown into the sun.
Yeah, it's like, I'm gonna join the Avengers. And then, you know, that one S.H.I.E.L.D. guy says, hey, Troy. And then they walk off together.
Oh, I like that.
Nice little send-off.
They're just like, hey, we did it.
Yeah. Exactly. We got in the movie, and then they just leave.
I was like, on the DC side, been a little light on the DC side, Donald Gleason would be a pretty okay Riddler.
Donald Gleason, yeah, from
Star Wars and Ex Machina.
Yep.
All right. Yep.
Michael Chiklis would be a great Metamorpho.
Oh,
to add to that DC.
I've mentioned this before on the podcast that I'm like, I would love to see Metamorpho done in a movie.
Yeah.
If there's such a rich, interesting character there to do. We're talking specifically about D-list stuff, but he would actually be an interesting, weird thing to do. There's so much possibility there.
I do have a couple more, but...
if you want to go.
Have we got another
another team, but...
I've got my two big ones.
Go.
I've been saving them.
Oh, shit. At the end. He's right.
No, I one that I thought of the other day and I forgot to write it down, but I just wrote it down.
Cool.
Tom Kenny as the voice of Warlock.
I don't know.
Tom Kenny is most famous for being SpongeBob SquarePants.
Okay.
But he's in lots and lots of voices, and I think he'd be a good Warlock.
That would work.
Yeah.
Very schizophrenic. S.H.I.E.L.D., just put fucking John Hodgman on S.H.I.E.L.D. as MODOK already. I know we've talked about it before on the show. Just do it.
Yeah.
Because it'd be funny.
Keep the mustache.
Keep the Van Dyke.
Hashtag keep the stash. That's the... that's this episode.
Stash Doc.
Yeah.
And finally, has anyone mentioned Ron Perlman? Yeah, we have.
Yes.
Yeah.
But... there's plenty to go around.
Ron Perlman is in pretty much every movie anyway.
Yeah. So may as well make him Cable.
Oh.
Especially in that Deadpool sequel.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let me jump off that. Speaking of Cable, here's my casting for X-Force.
The
original X-Force, just coming off New Mutants to X-Force, not current X-Force.
Right.
And this is for when Netflix just becomes shitty Netflix, and they just, like, want to keep casting...
It's happening.
Anything will do.
Yeah. I have several...
Too many cooks, the series.
Too many X-Force. I have several castings for Cable.
Two little feet.
Here's several ideas for Cable. We mentioned Bruce Campbell. Bruce Campbell is Cable.
Bruce Campbell. Got it.
Bruce Campbell. Or Michael Ironside.
He came up earlier. And
he did. Did he? Was it the drive over?
Yeah.
It was.
I was like, I wasn't around.
Was it Cable?
No, Prophet.
Oh, Prof. Oh, man. Close enough. Yeah, we were talking about...
or...
Rob Liefeld. Anyway.
Or
Rob Liefeld Expendables.
Yeah.
Or Cable is Rowdy Roddy Piper.
Oh, shit.
If we were talking like 80s, then you throw him in there. Shatterstar is Casper Van Dien from Starship Troopers.
Yeah.
And really probably pretty much nothing else.
Nothing else.
Warpath is Lou Diamond Phillips.
Yep. Okay.
Yep.
There you go.
Boom Boom is Tara Reid. Like current Tara Reid. Totally coked out and fucking weird. Domino, Pam Grier. That's where my Pam Grier came in.
Yeah.
And this is where Molly Ringwald came in. She plays Feral.
Oh, that's interesting.
See, when I think of Feral, I think of like classic Feral. Has her look developed? Or am I mixing Feral up with Thorn, who looked the exact same as Feral?
It's possible.
Because they all had Wolverine hair.
Yeah, she had the, like...
so many people did.
Two-foot hair, kind of triangular sort of thing. Then you get to Cannonball, and I had a bit of a toss-up between two. You either have a young Ted Raimi, or Jake Busey.
Oh, shit.
But if you're going to have Jake Busey as Cannonball, you have to have Gary Busey as Cable.
I want that. I shouldn't, but I do.
Yeah, I know. It's like a dirty little secret that you just don't want to admit. And that's all I got.
Fantastic.
Although I wanted to fit Dolph Lundgren, Ernest Borgnine, and Megan Fox in there somewhere, but I couldn't.
How about this? Tom Savini is Lobo in a terrible Lobo movie.
Oh, that would be... I saw Tom Savini and I was like, oh, I should try to work him
right?
And I couldn't think of it. But that
I know
fucking
who that is and I'm all for it.
Yeah.
And he would do the full makeup for himself.
Oh, yeah. Oh, exactly.
Yeah.
You save money.
And direct his own movie.
You save money. Minutes. He does everything. That is a one-man show and it would be terrible but amazing.
And you could probably just tell...
Romero?
Rodriguez and Tarantino.
Sure.
And they would jump on board.
Oh, absolutely.
They like Savini so much, they'd be like, sure, fuck, we'll co-direct that. Boom.
I'd just, love to do that. You know, I get a shot of somebody's feet, just anybody.
I take back the terrible. I desperately want this to exist.
That would be good. That would
I take it back. That would actually be something else. Cool. All
right.
Well, we're spent.
All right.
That was wonderful. I don't care if that was good for you, that was great for me.
On to the moment of zero.
Moment of zero. Moment of zero.
Merc's rant.
So I need to get a few things off my chest. So there are tons of comic bits shooting out everywhere now. Video games, novels, film, television, and of course comics. Lots of different media by lots of different people, all doing their take on characters that have been around for a long time. Take Suicide Squad, for instance. Jared Leto has done his take on the Joker, and by his I mean him, the writer, the director, the makeup, the wardrobe, the concept design, etc., etc., etc. So what's being said by the fans? And I do air quotes when I say that. Fans. Here are some posts.
No. Dude. Looks like he's some crappy new metal atrocity.
He looks like an albino thug that belongs in a Spike Lee Mad Max movie. Would have been nice if he would have studied the character he was playing, instead of pushing the next level. But then again, the Joker never ever was in the Suicide Squad. I'm wondering what alternative Earth this movie was set in.
Faithful maybe only to the madness the Joker entitles, but his aesthetics is a complete joke. He looks nothing like any combination books I have read. I hate how Hollywood keeps trying to make something that was already perfect in the first place. I wasn't happy with how Ledger did his Joker.
And those were the nice ones.
You're such a dick.
So you don't like it. That's cool. Everything is not for everyone, no prob. But maybe keep your diapers on a few clicks, and I don't know.
Wait for the fucking movie to come out?
Judge whether or not you like the
actual movie
rather than a still photo with
no context.
The rampant prejudge onslaught of everything before they're even seen or understood is like Donnie interrupting the dude's story.
Were you listening to the dude's story?
I was bowling.
So you have no frame of reference here, Donnie. You're like a child who wanders into the middle of a movie and wants to know.
Walter, what's the point, man?
Don't speaken until thou knowest what thou speaking of, weary Asgardian fanboy.
Wait. Have patience, young Padawan learner. That's the first point. The second is this. What Joker are you talking about? There's this phenomenon that happens in our wee human civilization that is not specific to comics and comics-related media and weepy fanboys. This is a universal thing, but for sake of specificity, let's discuss it in that realm of understanding. We as people, and a culture, and a society, have no memory beyond what happened at the bar last weekend or what reality star did what to who and who gives a fuck. We like to think we do, but we don't. We like to think we hearken back to long-lost days and old traditions and good old times. But for most, that was when you had flip phones, considered variant covers were a good idea, and thought
hentai
was a type of Japanese skin cream. Now, the Joker.
Let the good times roll!
Let's think of the context of Leto's version. He's exactly that, a version of the Joker, an interpretation, an adaptation, a form, a variant. There have been dozens of versions of the Joker throughout the history of the character, and this is another one. You don't have to like it, you don't have to celebrate it, you don't have to rub it on your crotch and say,
"Mommy loves you."
But you do have to recognize it's part of an ongoing interpretation of the character in a multitude of medias. The Joker began in 1939.
1939.
That's before Polaroid cameras or LP records were invented, just to set the tone. And when he first appeared, he was stabbed through the heart and originally scheduled to die, but was saved by the editorial department at the last moment with a final inserted panel. Inspired in part by the 1928 silent movie The Man Who Laughs, see, we forget movies have not been around for that long, and talkies for even less. When first introduced, he was a ruthless killer with the iconic clown design, often murdering people in Batman's pages.
The definitive version.
By the 50s, he softened up like yeasty dough and dropped his
stabby stabby ways,
moving on to become a lighthearted trickster to reflect the times and comics. The 60s brought the iconic TV version played by Cesar Romero. Appearing in 19 episodes, his interpretation was campy, goofy, and created that memorable little girl laugh. If that little girl was marginally insane and hopped up on opiates.
The definitive version.
At the end of the TV show, Batman books struggled and Joker all but disappeared for several years. He returned in 1973 as Neil Adams and Denny O'Neill's definitive version, fundamentally insane and returning to his roots as a bloody, ruthless killer. A villain to be feared, not ridiculed.
It's like going from Dr. Evil to Dr. No, or Trump to President Trump.
The 80s brought a dark Batman, and so Joker's tone got darker as well. With versions like Alan Moore's The Killing Joke,
the standard Batman image, and thinking about that in the real world, it seems that such a person would probably be a lonely, paranoid vigilante. He'd probably have terrible hygiene habits, no friends. This seemed to be a more feasible reality, rather than living in a mansion and having a sumptuous Batcave.
And a death in the family, where Joker introduced Robin to his crowbar, over and over and over and over again. Then came...
You ever dance with the devil in the pale moonlight? I always ask that of all my prey. I just like the sound of it.
Burton's Joker with Jack Nicholson behind the wheel.
Prince did a fucking soundtrack to it.
The definitive version.
The 90s and beyond brought multiple animated versions. The gangster, the sleek, insane gentleman, the dark purple maniac, the neo-punk, chunky green hair, glowing red eyes, and teeth like a Gundar version. Of course, many say Luke Skywalker's voiced incarnation of the Joker is...
the definitive version.
Luke, it's me! The Clown Prince of Crime! And also your father.
No, that's not true! That's impossible!
Things continued along for the Clown Prince of Crime, or the serial killer formerly known as the Clown Prince of Crime, and everyone took a swing, moving from the farcical prankster to the stark nemesis of the Dark Knight, batshit crazy mirror image to the batshit crazy Caped Crusader.
To the reality-altering, powered-up via Mr. Mixaplick torture-inducing kitty-killy Joker. Yeah.
That was the definitive version.
Of course, video games through the years have had their versions as well, with stark visual differences and maniacal edges of their own. Return of the Joker, Batman Beyond, Batman Vengeance, Batman Dark Tomorrow, Arkham Asylum, Arkham City, and the Lego Legend himself.
The definitive version.
Once we get to the 2000s, we get into new movie territory.
I don't want to kill you. What would I do without you? No, you. You complete me.
That's him, the Agent of Chaos. Remember the tidal wave outcry when the first screenshots of Heath Ledger surfaced?
He won a fucking Oscar. And he was dead.
And you're still struggling trying to put together the Star Wars Lego set your aunt got you for your birthday last spring.
In 2011, Joker had his face ripped off and returned wearing someone else's skin.
The current definitive version.
But Jared Leto's look isn't faithful to the definitive version. Yeah. It would have been nice if he would have studied the character he was playing a little bit, instead of pushing the next level.
Oh no, it's not exactly as I pictured. Oh, it's not exactly what I wanted. No! What am I gonna do?
I know. I'll go on the internet, insult everyone I can, filling social media and comment sections with the most vile, putrid, noxious, vulgar, and vicious hatred I can shovel up from the deep, barren, coal-fired pits of my ash-laden soul, hurling repugnant and repulsive personal insults at anyone who even entertains the idea that it might work.
Sounds like a fucking plan.
Of course, that's what the internet is for. Well, that and masturbating. My guess? These people wouldn't be happy with any version of the Joker. Or anything else for that matter. Nothing presented in any way will live up to the definitive version. Because after all, he was already perfect in the first place.
I think you and I are destined to do this forever.
The previous statement was pre-recorded and is not... It does not reflect the views
of everybody on this.
Everybody present.
We're as shocked as you are.
I'm Merc. You can find me at mercasylum.ca, MERKASYLUM.ca. You can find me at Merc Nowadays, or of course, Zero Issues Comic Podcast.
I'm Bri Kotick. My comic is Welcome to Hereafter at welcometohereafter.com. You can also look for that on Facebook. You can look up BRYKOTYK on pretty much any social media, and I'll probably be there because I have a problem.
And I am The Kyle Lees. You can check my stuff out on Facebook at The Kyle Lees, or on Twitter at The Kyle Lees, or on non-social media sites at SoThisIsThem.com. Check it out, y'all.
I like how pleased you look for The Kyle Lees.
Well,
you deserve it. That's not an insult. Good for you.
The first time when I had to use that as like a Twitter thing because of that other fucking guy that got at Kyle Lees, and he's used it like 4 times, and he's a big Five Finger Death Punch fan, and I just... Whatever, man. Use it. If you're gonna take it, use it. Yeah. But I had to set it up as my Twitter handle. I went out to a concert, and I heard someone say, "Hey, it's The Kyle Lees," and I'm like, well,
maybe this'll work.
Done.
And after I felt really, really bad for a bit, because I realized they were mocking me, I was like, you know what? Someday, 3 years later, look at me now.
Also, a big thank you to Ocean City Defender, Ken Merkley, for his fantastic help with all the musical parts of the show. Any little clip that you heard that had any sort of musical sort of sound or motion or whatever to it, that was him. We got together and we did some tunes, and a huge thank you to him and his gracious talent. Check him out at Ocean City Defender. He's got a couple of albums. You can find him on Facebook or the World Wide Web. Check him out.
He's fantastic.
And if you're on iTunes, check us out there. If you feel so inclined and you're enjoying it, give us a little subscription and a rating. That would be awesome. Spread us around.
If like you look up Zero Issues, you should find us. And if you give us a good rating, it helps, you know, it helps us be easier to find for other people. And if you enjoy the show, please let people know.
Yeah, and if you're on Facebook, check out our page on there. You know, we're not just posting episodes, we're posting various goofy stuff all the time.
Yep. Yeah. Interacting. If you find something cool, something funny.
Or if you even have an idea for an episode.
Yeah,
please.
I can't remember. I was talking to someone about it. It was like the last time I did a drink and draw, I started a fucking podcast.
I think we have a tag. Fantastic.